Thank you. would like to take your seats and welcome to all our friends online. Wish you. It's raining in paradise. We've got some rain, although last night we only had about 3 mil, but there was a huge clap of thunder that's at about 3:30 a.m. that woke quite a few people up, from what I can gather. But, yeah, there's a few storms coming through, so we're hoping for some rain as a follow-up for a couple of inches from last week. Okay, I'll blow the shofar and we can start our service. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shalom. If you'd like to stand, we can sing Shabbat Shalom. We haven't had this one for a few weeks, have we?
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. love you've shown to me, I don't deserve that you've forgiven me. I don't deserve, Lord, the grace you've granted me. I did not know how far I'd grown from you. I didn't know I'd lost my first love too. I didn't know, Lord, I was missing you. My heart was cold, your mercy did I see, reaching for my soul. You touched me, you changed me, and to my surprise, your spirit came to me. Your mercy did I see. First love too, I didn't know, Lord, I was missing
Adonai, Hoshieni Elohai, לאדוני הישועה, עלמך ברכתך.
Your presence, oh God.
God, we delight to be in your presence. Lord, we delight to be where you are.
Adonai Elohecha, the Holy Vatha, Uvechol Nafshecha, Uvechol Mekudecha, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, the Holy Vatha, Uvechol Nafshecha, ובכל מקודך. Shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. They are hard. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments stands the whole law. Love your neighbor, love your God.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem.
Israel, Yehovah Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen.
Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha yivakol nafshecha yivakol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot.
Yeshua HaMashiach, hu Adonai.
Yeshua the Messiah,
he is Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. It's great to see you all today, and we've got quite a few away today, but I'm sure that with the rain and the holidays all coming up, it takes down the numbers. It's summer over here in Australia, so we'd like to welcome the school summer holidays are starting. All the private schools are finished. It's just the state's or public schools that are left running at the moment for the next week. So let's welcome all those watching live stream. To you, Clayton in Texas, Ali Shaver in Trinidad, Danielle Joshua Ariella in Perth. Now in Adelaide today, we've got, to my knowledge, Annette, Diana and Michael and Zara, Jan and Sandy, Marlene and Brian, Dagami, Christine, Betty, Mike, Warren, Ruth and John, and Marion and Stephen, all in Annette's little unit. Hi to Cindy in the Blue Mountains, to Frankie in New South Wales, to Sue in Maxville and David in Nambucca Heads. Hi also Lily and Ruby and Emma in the Channon, and to Gail in Jessica in Ipswich, and to Lynn from Laidley. To Glenn and Ella, welcome to you. Is this Yola not here either? Ella's in hospital. Okay, so Yola, love you, darling. And Glenn, and now their daughter, Glenn's home from hospital. Praise Yah. But now Ella is in hospital. She has to have an operation, to my knowledge. Is that happening on Monday? Yep. Oh, so this is a different thing again? A different thing again? Oh, dear me. Goes from one to another, but they're really struggling. You know, people don't realise what members of our congregation are going through. And Yola has been to hell and back, virtually, with her husband dying in hospital, but he's now home, but he's on dialysis every week, and now their daughter's gone to hospital. So things aren't good. We really need to lift up that family daily. So, Mo dear, get your family well soon. We keep praying for you. To Shusa, Genesis, Israel, Peter and Wendy, Jack, Laura and the girls, Fabian, Wendy and Zoe are all in Brisbane. Marianne on the Gold Coast and Michelle on the Gold Coast, welcome to you. Now, from what I know from last week, but I haven't heard anything from Malachi this week, we've got watching or listening through InSpeak in Canada through the C2M chat room. We've got Rab Avner, Minister Leia, Izzy and Baxter all in Nova Scotia. We've got Cherry in Ohio, Valerie and Patricia. I'm not too sure where you're from, but welcome. To Messianic Minister Jan and Anne from Prince Edward Island, Christy in New Mexico, Judy in Arizona and Rocky in Nebraska, Diane in Kansas and John in Florida. So that's who I know is watching there. So welcome to you all, and we hope that your winter is not too cold. Have an awesome Erev Shabbat. We've only got a few children here today, but if we'd like to have them out, please, that would be great. Love your shirt, Reuben. Isn't that awesome? Pardon?
I keep thinking, is the paint you do when you put your eyes out?
I know. That's what I like about it. You've got to have a weird sense of humour sometimes, if you've got one at all. Ah, oh, Yara is so good. Let's pray. I think Reuben's the only one left at school, is he? Or are the other two at school too? They're still at school this week? And you've finished? Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for our children. We pray, Abba Father, that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Menashe, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their life, that they will delight in your Torah and meditate on it day and night. We pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams, that they'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together, Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the Kedavah HaShalakim. Blessed are you, Yad of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants, and we ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Bless you. Have a wonderful time with Minister Davina today. Now, it is Hanukkah coming up. And Hanukkah in the Park, for those who want to come, you're all invited. This is put on by the Hebrew congregation, which is the Orthodox Shul in Service Paradise. And all of the Hebrew congregations come together on this day. Swing it around. How's that? Now that is an 8-foot lolly menorah. Oh, Hanukkah. Okay? So it's got your nine candles on it. And every year they have something different. I think last year they had surfboards. The year before they had an ice one. And every year they have something different. It's a time for children. So apart from lighting in the menorah and the speaking of the dignitaries like the Lord Mayor and a few others, it's a fun time. They've got a barbecue and chips this year. Sometimes they have falafels. Sometimes the food isn't very good at all. They've also got the Queensland Police Pipes and Drum Band playing this year. But for the children, you have to pay for the rides and you have to pay for the food, but everything else is free. But it's a time of just meeting with the Hebrew congregation of the Gold Coast. And so the amusement rides, so there's rock wall climbing, kids train rides, camel and pony rides, and they've got raffles, which we don't take part in, and that sort of thing. And that is on Thursday the 18th of December at 5:30 p.m. For those on the Gold Coast that would like to go and see it and watch it and listen to it and just meet with Jewish people on the Gold Coast, you're welcome to go along. So there's the Hebrew congregation or the Orthodox Shul, and there's the Temple Shalom, which is the Reformed Jews, and then a lot of our congregation turn up as well. So Rabbi Jurevich that runs it doesn't really acknowledge us, but that's okay, we're still in his face. He knows exactly who we are, and he knows we come along every year, and it's really amazing how he chooses to bypass you. But that's really good. He tried to close us, to have us closed down many, many years ago, but it didn't happen. So we make sure that we're there because we are part of the Hebrew congregation of the Gold Coast. And we should be there. So news in Israel this week. That's what's on the Gold Coast coming up. And also we've got Hanukkah candles. I've still got, there's two packets up the back. They're $12. And I've still got a couple of packets at home if people need Hanukkah. Their candles for their Hanukkahs. So is anyone needing candles? Have you all got your candles this year? You haven't got yours? Yeah, okay, I've got two packets here today, and I've got some more at home, so I can bring some more in next week. Okay, I don't have any Hanukkahs, so and we ordered those earlier in the year so everyone would have them on time. I doubt if you'd get a Hanukkah here within 10 days from Israel. The only way you could possibly order them would be through George's Judaica shop in Sydney. They may have some if you don't have a Hanukkah and want one before Hanukkah. Now, a Hanukkah, for those who aren't too sure, where this menorah has 7 candles, the Hanukkah has the 9. Ooh. What was that about? So yeah, the Hanukkah has 9 of the candles. So, what is happening in Israel? Well, you've probably heard that new elections have been called, early elections have been called in Israel in March. And that, with that, has brought many things. First of all, Hamas hails the coalition collapse as a victory. They like to twist it to make it look like that they've allowed it to happen. Obama has set on obstructing Netanyahu from getting back in and being re-elected. What's new there? Now, one thing that I wanted to put in that to me was really important. There's an Arab woman in Israel who's going to stand for the newest Jewish Home Party. And she's an Arab Muslim, but I believe she's now a believer. I could be wrong. But she wants to stand in the Jewish Home Party to show that Israel takes all people. All people are accepted in Israel. All people can stand in the Knesset, and she wants to stand there as an Arab in the Knesset and work against the Arab members from the Arab parties who try to go against everything that Israel does or everything that happens in the Knesset. So I thought that was interesting news, that we've got people, and there actually has been polls taken, and a lot of Arabs prefer to live under Israeli control than under Hamas or Gaza control. But then I've got more on that in a moment. Terror in Jerusalem as lone wolf attacks supermarket. Now, these lone wolf attacks they call them lone wolf attacks, but they're actually terrorist attacks. And they are Israeli Arabs working in supermarkets and attacking people that go in. So on Wednesday, a 16-year-old Palestinian teenager walked into a grocery store in Jerusalem or Yerushalayim and stabbed 2 Israelis before he was shot in the legs to stop him hurting any more people. And of course, the PA is causing incitement, which is meant to go against the elections that have been called. Now, that's what's in here for you to pray with. What I've got since we made this yesterday was that ISIS is in Gaza, in the fullest of extents. The Islamic State flags can already be seen at football stadiums, on windshields of vehicles, mosques, educational centres, and even on wedding invitations. It is also clear that when the Hamas regime collapses, which is highly probable, the Gaza Strip will not fall into the hands of the less radical Palestinians like Fatah, which people think is going to happen. It's actually going to fall into the hands of ISIS. And it's important to keep in mind that countries in Europe now voting for a Palestinian state may effectively be paving the way for a takeover of the Islamic State. Because we've got France now voting towards Hamas going into the United Nations and being classed as a state. The Gaza Strip has already been turned into an Islamic emirate that is run by Hamas and other radical groups such as Islamic Jihad. While Islamic State may have succeeded in infiltrating the Gaza Strip, its chances of entering the West Bank are zero. And this is thanks to the presence of the Israeli Defence Force in the West Bank. The Palestinian Authority and its president, Mahmoud Abbas, are well aware that without the Israeli security presence in the West Bank, the area would easily fall into the hands of Hamas or Islamic State. So it's important to keep in mind that the countries in Europe and now voting for a Palestinian state may actually be paving the way for a takeover by the Islamic State. I always said with this last war that they had with Gaza that I felt that Israel shouldn't stop until they'd beaten Hamas. And it looks like I could have been right, because they let go because of US, because of Obama trying to say, no, we need a peace treaty, where you see a lot of people are saying the only safe way is for there to be one state, and even some Palestinians are saying this, only one state and annexing the West Bank. In other words, all of the West Bank from the Jordan River and the West Bank of Israel, which was originally part of the mandate given to Israel when Israel was formed a state, for Israel to take that back so that the Islamic State can't take over. Because once the Islamic State takes over over Gaza, the West Bank will be in their sights, which makes it more perilous to live within Israel. So they're already in Gaza. They're already flying their flags over everything that they can. And we know that Barack Obama, even with what he's doing, he is more pro-Palestinian than he is pro-Israel. And that's been evident since he's been in office. And especially with what's been happening since the elections have been called as well. So let us pray for Israel, and let us pray for the safety of our Hebrew brothers and sisters, because it's not just in Israel that they are being attacked. When it comes to the Islamic State, they are being attacked everywhere within the world, and especially in Europe. So we need to pray for that, for Israel within the whole world, not just within the state of Israel. Abba Father, we thank you that you hear our prayer, that you are the Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Yah of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our Hebrew brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be, in the diaspora or in Eretz Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people through so many tribulations, whether it was from captivity in Egypt or in Babylon, or through the attempted annihilations of the Romans and the Holocaust, as well as the endless wars your people have suffered since returning to your promised land. Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. They are weary from crying because of the violence being perpetrated on many cities, especially in Jerusalem, with continued attacks this week, and it's happening more often in stores and places where people are just going about their daily work, trying to get a lift, trying to do their shopping. But they're being attacked. And the attackers are becoming younger and younger. And they're not just young men, but they're also women. But Abba, we ask that you will be with your people, that you will protect them in all areas. Because we know that as they go about their daily life, because we know from your word in Ezekiel that says your people will live in the land you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live there in complete safety and security, and we claim that for them today. Abba, we lift up to you the people of Yerushalayim, especially East Yerushalayim, the people of Sderot and Dimona, Ashkelon and Ashdod, and Beersheba, especially with the rockets that have gone off this week from the Gaza Strip. At least 7 within 2 days. But Abba, the people of this world don't hear about that. And we thank you, Abba Father, for your protection of your people. We also lift up the people of the Sinai and Elat, where more attacks are happening down there daily, with the Muslim Brotherhood taking over the Sinai, and with ISIS people also in abundance down there. We thank you, Abba Father, that you are with your people and you are protecting them. But we ask that you will be with those suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, especially the children, Abba Father, as they have a life ahead of them that we do not want them to live in fear or in anxiety. We ask for your healing power to touch them, and so that you can heal them completely from their pain, from their hurt, and from their anxieties. Abba, we ask you to lift up and protect all the people living near the borders of Gaza, Egypt, Lebanon, and Syria, and especially those within the Golan, Yehuda, and Shomron, and in Jerusalem at this time, because it is the eastern side of Jerusalem which they class as the West Bank. And Abba, we pray for all of those people living in Ma'ale Adumim and those other areas that they're classing as settlements, which are full-blown suburbs with high-rise buildings. But the world is treating them as settlements, Abba Father, like makeshift shelters. But they are thriving suburbs and municipalities. Abba, we ask that you will execute your judgment against these contemptuous neighbours and pray that none of their plans come to fruition. We also pray for the salvation of our Hebrew brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us, Abba, that you want none to perish. And we know from your word that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. We also pray, Abba Father, that you'll send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. Abba, we know that it's your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says that your people will live in the land you gave their ancestors, that you will be their Elohim and they will be your people, and we claim that for them today. We also ask that you'll abide by your promises to summon the grain in its season and increase it. You've also promised to multiply the yield of the fruit trees, and that your people will never again suffer the reproach of their nations. We thank you, Abba, for the rainfall that they've had in this past week, and we pray, Abba Father, that the rain will continue to fill Lake Kinneret. We claim also for this today, as we pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your land. We break the power of Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives and Islamic State operatives that are trying to wipe Israel off the map at this very moment. Abba, we lift up to you every member of the IDF, the reservists and their families. We ask for your protection for all Israeli soldiers and workers. We thank you for the medical teams that are doing such an incredible job in healing Syrian people who come across the border. We praise you, Abba Father, that as they go back into their countries, that they have seen Israeli people in a completely different way, and they will spread this to their loved ones. Abba, we lift up to you every member of the Knesset, and as they now start going into election mode, we pray, Abba Father, that you will bring the right person to lead this country, to lead this country to a strong and successful nation. And we pull down the strongholds of the Arab members who are working against the Israeli government with an agenda that is outside of your plan. And we pray that none of their plans come to fruition. Abba, we lift up Yaakov Damkani and Eli Shaver and their ministry of Trumpets of Salvation. We pray that you'll be with them and protect them as they send out your disciples two by two to spread the message of hope to your people. We claim many souls to come into your kingdom as Torah observant believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. We also lift up to you the principal and staff of Makor HaTikva, the Messianic Day School in Yerushalayim. We thank you for the faith of each and every staff member and the students. We praise you, Abba Father, for the Messianic instruction the children receive and the work they produce, as the high standard of work they produce, as well as the privilege we have in being able to bless them. We thank you, Abba Father, that they are able to continue as working as a messianic school until the time that they are certified to become government funded. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. It's just come to my remembrance, and I just feel I should share it with you. Have you all heard of Jonathan Pollard? Jonathan Pollard was an Israeli spy 30 years ago. And he's been held by the American government for 30 years for spying on American intelligence into Israel. And no other person has been held for that length of time. His wife's name is Esther. And I ask that you hold her up in prayer. She hasn't been with her husband for 30 years. He is now unconscious and been taken to hospital. The Israeli government has been trying to get Jonathan Pollard free for years. They have known he has not been well. He's been kept in isolation for over 10 years of that 30 years. Now he's unconscious. And hopefully his wife Esther will get to see him before it's too late and he regains consciousness. I don't know what that would be like as a woman to live in a country with your husband in another land for 30 years. It just would be so hard. And yet they released the people out of Guantanamo Bay for doing things with ISIS and all this sort of stuff. But Barack Obama has refused to release this man. He's been over 30 years in American jails. So please pray for him, but mainly for Esther, his wife. I'd like you to do that as a personal thing. I didn't want to do it as a public thing. I didn't think it was the right thing to do. But I couldn't let the prayer time go without mentioning it to you. So, Torah service of the word today. We're going from Parasha 8, Vayishlak. He sent, which is Bereshit, Genesis 32:4 to 36:43. From the prophets, we'll be reading from Hosea 11:7 to 12:2. In the Kedavah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 13, and from Revelation 7, 1 to 12. So let us pray for the word. Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, aher b'kar banu mikal ha'amin, v'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah, natein ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua mashikenu, ha'ola olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Parashah 8, Vayishalak, he sent. Bereshit, Genesis 32:4-36:43. Yaakov sent messengers ahead of him to Esau his brother toward the land of Seir, the country of Edom, with these instructions. Here is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Yaakov says, I have been living with Laban and have stayed until now. I have cattle, donkeys and flocks, and male and female servants. I am sending to tell this news to my Lord in order to win your favor. The messengers returned to Yaakov, saying, "We went to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you. With him are 400 men." Yaakov became greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people, flocks, cattle and camels with him into two camps, saying, "If Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, at least the camp that is left will escape." Then Yaakov said, "Elohim of my father Abraham and Elohim of my father Yitzchak, Jehovah, who told me, 'Return to your country and your kinsmen, and I will do you good,' I am not worthy of all the love and faithfulness you have shown your servant, since I crossed the Arden with only my staff, but now I have become two camps. Please rescue me from my brother Esau. I'm afraid of him, afraid he'll come and attack me, without regard for mothers or children. You said, 'I will certainly do you good and make your descendants as numerous as the grains of the sand by the sea, which are so many they can't be counted.'"
He stayed there that night, and he chose from among his possessions the following as a present for Esau his brother: 200 female goats and 20 males, 200 female sheep and 20 males, 30 milk camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 colts. He turned them over to his servant, every drove by itself, and said to his servant, "Cross over in front of me and keep a space between each drove and the next one." He instructed the servant in front, "When Esau my brother meets you and asks you, 'Whose servants are you? Where are you going? And whose animal are these?' Then you are to say, 'They belong to your servant Yaakov, and they are presents he has sent to my lord Esau, and Yaakov himself is just behind us.'" He also instructed the second servant and the third, and all that followed the droves, "When you encounter Esau, you are to speak to him in the same way, and you are to add, 'And there, just behind us, is your servant Yaakov.' For he said, 'I will appease him first with the presence that goes ahead of me. Then, after that, I will see him myself, and maybe he will be friendly towards me.' So the presence crossed over ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. He got up that night, took his two wives, his two slave girls, and his 11 children, and forded the Yabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, then sent his possession across. And Yaakov was left alone. Then some man wrestled him with him until daybreak. When he saw that he did not defeat Yaakov, he struck Yaakov's hip socket, so that his hip was dislocated while wrestling with him. The man said, "Let me go, because it's daybreak." But Yaakov replied, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Yaakov." Then the man said, "From now on, you will no longer be called Yaakov, but Israel, because you have shown your strength to both Elohim and men and have prevailed." Yaakov asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why are you asking about my name?" And bless him there.
Yaakov called the place Peniel, face of Elohim, because I have seen Elohim face to face, yet my life is spared. As the sun rose upon him, he went on past Peniel, limping at the hip. This is why, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the thigh muscle that passes along the hip socket, because the man struck Yaakov's hip at its socket. Yaakov raised his eyes and looked out, and there was Esau coming and 400 men with him. So Yaakov divided the children between Leah, Rachel, and the two slave girls, putting the slave girls and their children first, Leah and her children second, and Rachel and Yosef last. Then he himself passed on ahead of them and prostrated himself on the ground 7 times before approaching his brother. Esau ran to meet him, hugged him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau looked up. On seeing the women and children, he asked, "Who are these with you?" Yaakov answered, "The children Elohim has graciously given to your servant."
Then the slave girls approached with the children, and they prostrated themselves. Leah too and her children prostrated themselves. And last came Yosef and Rachel, and they prostrated themselves. Esau asked, "What was the meaning of this procession of droves I encountered? And he answered, "It was to win my Lord's favor." Esau replied, "I have plenty already, my brother. Keep your possessions for yourself." Yaakov said, "No, please. If now I have won your favor, then accept my gift. Just seeing your face has been like seeing the face of Elohim, now that you have received me. So please accept the gift I have brought you. For Elohim has dealt kindly with me, and I have enough." Thus he urged me until he accepted it. Esau said, Let's break camp and get going. I'll go first." Yaakov said to him, "My lord knows that the children are small, and the sheep and cattle suckling. The young concern me, because if they overdrive them even one day, all the flocks will die. Instead, please let my lord go on ahead of his servant. I will travel more slowly at the pace of the cattle ahead of me and at the pace of the children until I come to my lord in Seir." Esau replied, "Then let me leave with you some of the people I have with me." But Yaakov said, "There is no need for my lord to be so kind to me." So Esau left that day to return to Seir. Yaakov went on to Sukkot, where he built himself a house and put up shelters for his cattle. This is why the place is called Sukkot, shelters. Having traveled from Paddan Aram, Yaakov arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and set up camp near the city. The sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of silver and the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent. There he put up an altar which he called El Elohei Israel, Elohim, the Elohim of Israel.
One time, Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Yaakov, went out to visit the local girls. And Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivi, the local ruler, saw her, grabbed her, raped her, and humiliated her. But actually he was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Yaakov. He fell in love with the girl and tried to win her affection. Shechem spoke with his father Hamor and said, "Get this girl for me. I want her to be my wife." When Yaakov heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter, his sons were with his livestock in the field. So Yaakov restrained himself until they came. Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Yaakov to speak with him, just as Yaakov's sons were coming in from the field. When they heard what had happened, the men were saddened and were very angry at the outrage this man had committed against Israel by raping Yaakov's daughter, something that is simply not done. But Hamor said to them, "My son Shechem's heart is set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife, and intermarry with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You will live with us, and the land will be available to you. You will live, do business, and acquire possession here." Then Shechem said to her father and brothers, "Only accept me, and I will give whatever you tell me. Ask as large a bride price as you like. I'll pay whatever you tell me. Just let me marry the girl." The sons of Yaakov answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. They said to them, "We can't do it, because it would be a disgrace to give our sister to someone who hasn't been circumcised. Only on this condition will we consent to what you are asking, that you become like us by having every male among you get circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live with you and become one people. But if you will not do as we say and get circumcised, then we will take our daughter and go away." What they said seemed fair to Hamor and Shechem, the son of Hamor. And the young man did not put off doing what was asked of him, even though he was the most respected member of his father's family, because he so much wanted Yaakov's daughter. Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the entrance of the city and spoke with its leading men. "These people are peaceful toward us. Therefore, let them live in the land and do business in it. For as you can see, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as wives for ourselves, and we will give them our daughters. But the people will consent to live with us and become one people only on this condition, that every male among us gets circumcised, as they themselves are circumcised. Won't their cattle, their possessions, and all their animals be ours? Only let's consent to do what they ask, and then they will live with us." Everyone going out the city's gate listened to Hamor and Shechem, his son. So every male was circumcised, everyone that went out the gate of the city. On the third day after the circumcision, when they were in pain, two of Yaakov's sons, Simon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords, boldly descended on the city and slaughtered all the males. They killed Hamor and Shechem, his son, with their swords, took Dinah out of Shechem's house and left. Then the sons of Yaakov handed over the dead bodies of those who had been slaughtered and plundered the city in reprisal for defiling their sister. They took their flocks, cattle, and donkeys, and everything else, whether in the city or in the field, everything they owned. Their children and wives they took captive, and they looted whatever was in the houses. But Yaakov said to Simon and Levi, "You have caused me trouble by making me stink in the opinion of the local inhabitants, the Canaanite and the Prizi. Since I don't have many people, they will align themselves together against me and attack me, and I will be destroyed, I and my household." They replied, "Should we let our sister be treated like a whore?" Elohim said to Yaakov, get up, go up to Beit El and live there, and make there an altar to Elohim, who appeared to you when you fled Esau, your brother. Then Yaakov said to his household and all the other with him, get rid of the foreign gods that you have with you, purify yourselves, and put on fresh clothes. We are going to move on and go up to Beit El. There I will build an altar to Elohim, who answered me when I was in such distress and stayed with me wherever I went. They gave Yaakov all the foreign gods in their possession and earrings they were wearing, and Yaakov buried them under the pistachio tree near Shechem. While they were traveling, a terror from Elohim fell upon the cities around them, so that none of them pursued the sons of Yaakov. Yaakov and all the people with him arrived at Luz, that is Beit El, in the land of Canaan. He built there an altar and called the place El Beit El, Elohim of Beit El, because it was there that Elohim was revealed to him at the time when he was fleeing from his brother. Then Deborah, Rivka's nurse, died. She was buried below Beit El under the oak, which was given the name Alon Bakhut. After Yaakov arrived from Padan Aram, Elohim appeared to him again and blessed him. Elohim said to him, your name is Yaakov, but you will be called Yaakov no longer. Your name will be Israel. Thus he named him Israel. Elohim further said to him, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, indeed a group of nations, will come from you. Kings will be descended from you.
Moreover, the land which I gave to Abraham and to Yitzhak I will give to you, and I will give you the land to your descendants after you. Then Elohim went up from him there where he had spoken with him. Yaakov set up a standing stone in the place where he had spoken with him, a stone pillar. Then he poured a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. Yaakov called that place where Elohim spoke to him Beit El. Then they travelled on from Beit El, and while there was still some distance to go before arriving at Ephrat, Rachel went into labour, and she had great difficulty with it. While she was undergoing this hard labour, her midwife said to her, don't worry, this is also a son for you. But she died in childbirth. As she was dying, she named her son Ben-Onan, son of my grief. But his father called him Ben-Yamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrat, that is, Beit Lechem. Yaakov set up a standing stone on her grave, and it is the standing stone of Rachel's grave to this day. Israel continued on his travels and pitched his tent on the other side of Migdal Eder. It was while Israel was living in that land that Reuben went and slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. Yaakov had 12 sons, and the sons of Leah were Reuben, Yaakov's firstborn, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yitzhakar, Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Yosef and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's slave girl, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's slave girl, were Gad and Asher. These were the Yaakov's sons, born to him in Padan Aram. Yaakov came home to his father Yitzhak at Mamre, near Kiryat Arba, known as Hebron, where Abraham and Yitzhak had lived as foreigners. Yitzhak lived to be 180 years old. Then he breathed his last and died. He was gathered to his people, an old man full of years, and his sons Esav and Yaakov buried him. This is a genealogy of Esav, that is Edom. Esav chose Canaanite women to be his wives: Adah, daughter of Elion, and Hiti, of Aholamah, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zivon, the Hiti, Basmat, Yishmael's daughter, sister of Nayat. Adah bore to Esav Eliphaz. Basmat bore Reuel, and Aholamah bore Yishu Yaalam, and Korach. These were the sons of Esau born to him in the land of Canaan. Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and the others in his household, his cattle and the other animals and everything else he owned, which he acquired in the land of Canaan, and went off to a country distant from his brother Yaakov, from their possessions, and became too great for them to live together in the countryside, through which they were travelling, couldn't support so much livestock. So Esau lived in the hill country of Seir. Esau is Edom. This is the genealogy of Esau, the father of Edom, in the hill country of Seir. The names of Esau's sons were Eliphaz, the son of Adar, the wife of Esau, and Reuel, son of Basmat, the wife of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz. Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz and Esau's son, and she bore to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the descendants of Adar, Esau's wife. The sons of Reuel were Nahat, Zerah, Shema, and Mitzah. These are the sons of Basmat, Esau's wife. They were the sons of Aholavamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zivon, Esau's wife. She bore to Esau Yeush, Yalam, and Korach. The chieftains of the sons of Esau were the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, and the chieftains of Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korach, Gatam, and Amalek. These are the chieftains descended from Eliphaz in Edom from Adar. The sons of Reuel, Esau's sons, were the chieftains of Nahat, Zerach, Shema, Mizah. These are the chieftains descended from Reuel in the land of Edom from Basmat, Esau's wife. The sons of Aholavamah, Esau's wife, were the chieftains of Yush, Yalam, Korach. These are the chieftains descendants from Aholavamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the descendants of Esau, that is Edom, and these were their chieftains.
These were the descendants of Seir, the Hori, the local inhabitants, Lotan, Shaval, Zivon, Anah, Dishon, Etzer, and Dishan. These were the chieftains descended from the Hori, the people of Seir in the land of Edom. The sons of Lotan were Hori, Chavman, Lotan's sister was Tinah. The sons of Shaval were Alva, Manachat, Eval, Shavo, and Onam. The sons of Zivon were Ayah and Anah. This is the Anah who found the hot springs in the desert while pasturing his father Sivon's donkeys. The children of Anah were Dishon and Oliva Mahar, the daughter of Anah. The sons of Dishon were Hemdan, Heshban, Yitran, and Karan. The sons of Etzer were Bilan, Zavaan, and Achan. The sons of Dishan were Utz and Aran. These were the chieftains descended from the Hori. The chieftains of Latan, Shaval, Sivon, Anah, Dishon, Etzer, and Dishan. These were the chieftains descended from the Hori by their clans in Seir. Following are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king had reigned over the people of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom. The name of his city was Dinhavah. When Bela died, Yovah, the son of Zerach from Bozrah, reigned in his place. When Yovav died, Husham from the land of the Temani reigned in his place. When Husham died, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who killed Bidyan in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. The name of his city was Avit. When Hadad died, Samal of Masrekah reigned in his place. When Samal died, Sheol of Nevot by the river reigned in his place. When Sheol died, Baal-Chanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. When Baal-Chanan died, Hadar reigned in his place. The name of his city was Peol, and his wife's name was Met-Vavel, the daughter of Madrid, the daughter of Mezavah.
Maftir. These are the names of the chieftains descended from Esau, according to their clans, places, and names. the chieftains of Timnah, Alva, Yetet, Oholivama, Ela, Pinon, Kenaz, Timon, Mitzvah, Magdiel, and Aram. These were the chieftains of Edom, according to their settlements in the land they owned. This is Esav, the father of Edom. Haftarah Vayishalak. My people are hanging in suspense about returning to me, and though they call them upwards, nobody makes a move. Ephraim, how can I give you up or surrender you, Israel? How could I treat you like Admah or make you like Tzavoyim? My heart recoils at the idea, as compassion warms within me. I will not give vent to the fierceness of my rage. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am Elohim, not a human being, the Holy One among you. So I will not come in fury. They will go after Yehovah, who will roar like a lion. For he will roar, and the children will come, trembling from the west. They will tremble like a bird as they come from Egypt, like a dove as they come from the land of Ashur. And I will resettle them in their own houses, says Yehovah. Ephraim surrounds me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Yehuda still rules with Elohim and is faithful with holy ones. Ephraim is chasing the wind, pursuing the wind from the east. All day he piles up lies and desolation. They make a covenant with Ashur while sending olive oil to Egypt. Yehovah also has a grievance against Yehuda. He will punish Yaakov according to his ways and pay him back for his misdeeds. In the womb he took his brother by the heel. In the strength of his manhood he fought with Elohim. Yes, he fought with an angel and won. He wept and pleaded with him. Then at Betel he found him, and there he would later speak with us. Yehovah Elohe Tzavaot. Yehovah is his name. So you, return to your Elohim, hold fast to grace and justice, and always put your hope in your Elohim. A huckster keeps false scales, and he loves to cheat. Ephraim says, I have gotten so rich, I have made me a fortune, and in all my profits no one will find anything wrong or sinful. But I am Yehovah, your Elohim, from the land of Egypt. Again, I will make you live in tents, and in the days of the established festival. I have spoken to the prophets. It was I who gave vision after vision. Through the prophets I gave examples to show what it would all be like. Is Gilead given to iniquity? Yes, they have become worthless. In Gilgal they sacrifice to bulls, therefore their altars are like piles of stones in a ploughed field.
First Corinthians 5:1-13. It has actually been reported that there is sexual sin among you, and it is sexual sin of a kind that is condemned even by pagans. A man is living with his stepmother, and you stay proud? Shouldn't you rather have felt some sadness, what would have led you to remove from your company the man who has done these things? For I myself, even though I am absent physically, am with you spiritually, and I have already judged the man who has done this as if I were present. In the name of the Adonai Yeshua, when you are assembled with me present spiritually, and the power of our Adonai Yeshua among us, hand over such a person to the adversary for his old nature to be destroyed, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Adonai. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that the saying, it takes only a little chametz to leaven a whole batch of a dough. Get rid of the old chametz so that you can be a new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened. For our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder not with leftover chametz, the chametz of wickedness and evil, but with the chametz of purity and our matzah of purity and truth. In my early letter, I wrote you not to associate with people who engaged in sexual immorality. I didn't mean the sexual immoral people outside your community, or the greedy, or the thieves, or the idol worshippers, for then you would have to leave the world altogether. No, what I wrote you was not to associate with anyone who is supposedly a brother, but who also engaged in a sexual immorality, is greedy, worships idols, is abusive, get drunk, and or steals. With such a person, you shouldn't even eat. For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Isn't it those who are part of the community that you should be judging? Elohim will judge those who are outside. Just expel the evildoer from among yourselves.
Revelation 7, 1 to 12. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the land, on the sea, or on any tree. I saw another angel coming up from the east with a seal from the living Elohim, and he shouted to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their foreheads." I heard how many were sealed, 144,000, from every tribe of the people of Israel. From the tribe of Yehuda, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Shimon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Yisachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Binyamin, 12,000. After this, I looked, and there before me was a huge crowd, too large for anyone to count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in the white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they shouted, "Victory to our Elohim, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living beings. They fell face down before the throne and worshipped Elohim, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor, power and strength belong to our Elohim forever and ever. Amen."
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Asher natan nu Torah emet v'chay olam b'tikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah naten ha'Torah. B'shem Yeshua mashikenu ha'ola olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. That reading always amazes me, because it only ever mentions one daughter of Yaakov. But when you saw how, when he distributed his livestock, he had far more, he gave far more of the female livestock away than the male. And that was the same for mankind. Far more females were virtually born than males, but they were never ever listed, and we never knew about it. I want to give you today a message that's been called the Binyamini message. Because of Binyamin, or Benjamin, as you might know him, means son of the right hand. Binyamin was one of the tribes of Israel, as you know. He was the youngest son of Israel, and I'm not going to call him Yaakov because he was called in Scripture Israel. The first 10 tribes were the sons of Leah and the two handmaidens of Leah and Raquel. And the last two tribes that were even mentioned in Revelation were Raquel's sons, who was Israel's most beloved wife. But Raquel died in childbirth with Benjamin, and that broke the heart of her husband. But Benjamin also is a name which also means something wonderful. And so there is a message here. There's a message here that I want to get across to you today. So let's go to Bereshit 35, 16 to 20, please. It says they travelled on from Beit El, and while there was still some distance to go before arriving in Ephrat, Raquel went into labour, and she had great difficulty with it. While she was undergoing this hard labour, the midwife said to her, "Don't worry, this is also a son for you." But she died in childbirth. As she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, son of my grief. But his father called him Benjamin. Yamin is right in Israel, is the right hand. So Benjamin is right, or the right side. So Rachel, when Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrat, that is Beit Lechem. And Yaakov set up a standing stone on her grave, and it is the standing stone of Rachel's grave to this day. Now that's in Beit Lechem, or Bethlehem, as you might know it. That standing stone is still there, and it's also a time on this parasha when a lot of Jews will visit Raquel's tomb. And it's a time, once again, it's on in Judea and Samaria where riots and things can happen. The number of times that Raquel's tomb has been destroyed and desecrated is the same as happens at the Machpelah caves, which are really not far from each other when it comes to Israel. Now, Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. Raquel named him that because she was dying. But Israel renamed him Benjamin, son of the right hand. Like the son of someone's most dear, one's right hand, Israel wanted to remember a child was of the son he loved. Now, we are not children of sorrow. We should not be children of sorrow. We are children of he who is very dear to us and who are very dear to our Elohim. So we can also think of ourselves as Benjamin, as being son of Yehovah's right hand. Benjamin was born near Beit Lechem, also known in scripture as Ephrat. So who else was born in Beit Lechem? Yeshua. So I believe Yehovah had a message for all of us that brings great comfort when we can call it, and we can call it the Benjamini message. Did you know this? When Israel was dying, he called his sons and he prophesied over them. And what did he say when he came to Benjamin, the last son? We'll read that in Bereshit 49 and verse 27. We'll come to this. But it always surprised me why Yehovah would give this prophecy to Benjamin. It says, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, in the morning devouring the prey, in the evening still dividing the spoil. His name actually meant something notable. And Sheol, who was also a Benjamin, or Benjamini, described himself as a man from this very tribe. He says in Philippians 3:5 about himself. This is Shaul. It had Brit Milah on the eighth day, by birth belonging to the people of Israel, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew speaker with Hebrew-speaking parents, in regard to the Torah, a Parush. So Shaul was proud of the fact that he was a Binyamini. And I want to look at Shaul today and see why he was chosen to be the by Yeshua, even though he'd tried so hard to destroy Yeshua. In Romans 11:1 it says, "In that case I say, isn't it that Elohim has repudiated his people? Heaven forbid. For I myself am a son of Israel, from the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." It's interesting that Benjamin's prophecy that he would be, by his father, that he would be a ravening wolf, devouring the prey in the morning, but at the night he would divide the spoil. When I think of this, I'm thinking of Shaul of Tarshish. Because he's exactly what he was. And he was a Benjamin. Shaul the Apostle was a great preacher of the explanation of the good news of hope of Yeshua HaMashiach. Yehovah gave him a powerful revelation about why Yeshua had to die and what effects it had upon us. And since the Kedavah HaShalakim was primarily written by Shaul for the most part, apart from the first four books and Yochanan and Kepha, the rest is written by Shaul. And there are some gems in there from Shaul. So I believe Yehovah used Shaul in a mighty way. He was a big part of Yehovah's work for the assembly of Messianic believers. He was a big part of the Gentiles coming into the kingdom. And it was the pictures of Benjamin, the people in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, who came from Benjamin's tribe seemed to foreshadow that much of Shaul's great ministry was used in explaining the good news of hope in Yeshua HaMashiach. So many people call it the good news. I can't call it the good news. Because what is it the good news about? The good news was that there was hope. There was hope for life after death. And that's what we have to get across about the whole salvation message. It's not that we were saved for our sins, but there's hope in a life to come. Because we can sin again, and we all do sin again. None of us are without sin, even though we've become believers. So true to Benjamin's prophecy, Shaul was like a ravening wolf in the beginning. He was originally named Shaul of Tarsus, and during his pre-believing days, or his encounter with Yeshua on the road to Damascus, he persecuted the believers like a ravening wolf devoured the prey. He wanted them all killed, he wanted them all stoned, and everyone was in fear of Shaul. Can we go to Acts 9 and verse 1, please? Meanwhile, Shaul, still breathing murderous threats against Adonai's Talmudim, went to the Kohen Agadol, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, authorizing him to arrest any people he might find, whether men or women, who belonged to the way, and bring them back to Yerushalayim. Those who belonged to the way were the followers of Yeshua HaMashiach. The second part of the prophecy for Benjamin stated that he would divide the spoil in the evening. In the evening, or the latter part of Shaul's life, he turned completely around and he divided the spoil with the Messianic community. As a preacher, he told and divided the spoil or the message of the good news of hope. Can we go to Acts 9 and verse 3, please? He was on the road and nearing Damascus when suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Shaul, Shaul, why do you keep persecuting me?" "Sir, who are you?" he asked. "I'm Yeshua, and you are persecuting me. Get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you have to do." Elohim then spoke to Hananiah. You may know him as Ananias. In Acts 9 and verse 10, it says, "There was a Talmud in Damascus, Hananiah by name, and in a vision Adonai said to him, 'Hananiah,' and he said, 'Here I am, Adonai.' Adonai said to him, 'Get up and go straight to Straight Street to Yehuda's house and ask for a man from Tarsus named Shaul, for he is praying.' And in a vision he had seen a man named Hananiah coming in and placing his hands on him to restore his sight. But Hananiah answered, 'Adonai, many have told me about this man, how much harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has a warrant from the head Kohanim to arrest everyone who calls on your name.' But Adonai said to him, 'Go, because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Goyim, even to their kings and to the sons of Israel as well. But I myself will show him how much he will have to suffer on account of my name.'" So Shaul knew from the very outset, from the very beginning, that he was going to suffer to become a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach. Many of us don't receive that, but many of us do suffer when we become believers. Many of us suffer more when we become messianic. And it is par for the course. Elohim saved Shaul, and he heard revelations from Yah and learned from Yeshua himself about the reasons why Yeshua HaMashiach died. Shaul did great things for Elohim's kingdom. And the scriptures tell us that Yeshua HaMashiach spoiled the principalities by stripping the rulers and authorities of their powers. In Colossians 2 and verse 14, it says, this is talking about Yeshua, "He wiped away the bill of charges against us because of the regulations. It stood as a testimony against us, but he removed it by nailing it to the execution stake. Stripping the rulers and authorities of their powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by means of the stake." The spoil is the reward taken from Hasatan, or the devil. When Shaul accepted Yeshua as his Yeshua, or his Saviour, he was saved and divided, and he divided the spoil. He shared with everyone how much victory we have in Yeshua HaMashiach. Shaul said, "We are in Mashiach. We are in union with him. We are not children of sorrow, but in children of the right hand." The son of Israel, named Binyamin, was Yosef's brother. The same Yosef who rose to power in Egypt after his brothers sold him as a slave due to their jealousy of him. And when famine came and Israel sent his sons to Egypt for food, Yosef was amazed to see them. He actually commanded that Binyamin come. So Binyamin was sent to Egypt, and Yosef hid within his sack a silver cup. It was Yosef's personal silver cup. It wasn't any silver cup. In Bereshit 44 and verse 1 it says, "Then he ordered the manager of his household, 'Fill the men's packs with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money just inside his pack. I'd put my goblet, the silver one, just inside the pack of the youngest, along with the grain money.'" Why? He did what Yosef told him to do. And further down in verse 12 it says, when they'd sent them out to search, he searched, starting with the oldest and ending with the youngest, and the goblet was found in the pack belonging to Benjamin. there's an awesome message here. The metal silver cup was a symbol of redemption. It's a symbol of redemption in Scripture. This is why we use a silver cup here each Shabbat when we have Yeshua Remembrance Service. And it's the silver cup, Yosef's only silver cup that he drank from every day, that he put in Benjamin's sack to force them to return to their brother so that he could redeem them. Shaul, then the Benyamini, had a message to preach. And we need to know that Shaul said something about Yeshua that held many great truths. Can we go to Messianic Jews chapter 2 and verse 9, please? And we did see Yeshua, who indeed was made for a little while a little lower than the angels, not crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by Elohim's grace he might taste death for all humanity. Yeshua tasted death for every man. He prayed in the garden that the cup pass from him. The cup pass from him. Yeshua was going to, he had just drunk from the cup at a Passover Seder, and he now saying, let this cup pass from me. Yeshua was going to drink from the cup of becoming all of us. He became sin for us. He became us who were the sinners. Yeshua died without sin. Shaul preached this union with Mashiach, and this is the message that Shaul preached all along the way. He would write letters to Messianic community after Messianic community. Letters that would have we have in our Brit Hadashah or Kedavah HaShalakim, New Testament, whatever you want to call it. He would explain the, what the death of Yeshua was all about. You died when Yeshua died. The empty silver cup means that Yeshua drank the entire contents and tasted death for every man. We need to understand what that means. I know I've spoken about this before, but when the scriptures say he died for us, it means that we therefore died. We were crucified. We did die. We were buried. Our old man nature has been killed and taken off of us for good. Romans 6 and verse 3 says, didn't you know that those of us who have been immersed into the Messiah Yeshua have been immersed into his death? Through immersion into his death we are buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father the Messiah was raised from the dead, likewise we too might live a new life. And further down in verse 6, we know that our old self was put to death on the execution stake with him, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. And in verse 8, now since we died with the Messiah, we trust that we'll also live with him. Notice that what is said now of Yeshua in verses 9 and 10. We know that the Messiah has been raised from the dead, never to die again. Death has no authority over him, for his death was a unique event that need not be repeated, but his life he keeps on living for Elohim. And in verse 14, for sin will not have authority over you, because you are not under legalism, but under grace. Sin and death have no more dominion over us or Mashiach, because we died with him unto sin. We have to take hold of that. Binyamin means son of the right hand. Yeshua ascended after his death, and where did he go? To the right hand of his father. In Ephesians 1 and verse 20, it says, When he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or any other name that can be named in the Olam Hazeh or the Olam Haba, that is in this world to come, in this world or in the world to come. Olam Hazeh, this world. Olam Haba, the world to come. When we read that we ascended with him too, in Ephesians 2 and verse 5, that even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience, he brought us to life along with the Messiah. It is by grace that you've been delivered. That is, Elohim raised us up with the Messiah Yeshua and seated us with him in heaven. When Yeshua is seated in heaven at the right hand of Yehovah, where are we seated? At the right hand of Yehovah. Binyamin's name foreshadowed the great apostle Shaul of Binyamini, who would preach to us so much we know about how we are at the right hand of Yeshua HaMashiach. We were put into Mashiach, therefore we died, were buried and resurrected, and then ascended with him. And if Mashiach is at the right hand of the Father, that is where we are, sons of the right hand. Remembering that in heaven there's no sexual differences, as all of us are sons at the right hand, but we're also the bride of Mashiach. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. Once again, next I saw in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Where is the book? In Elohim's right hand. Taking that book means salvation for us. Revelation verse 5 and chapter 5 and verse 3 goes on to say, but no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look inside it. I cried and cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. But in chapter 5 and verse 5 of Revelation, it says, one of the elders said to me, don't cry. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Yehuda, the root of David, or David, has won the right to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw standing there with the throne and the four living beings in the circle of the elders a lamb that appeared to have been slaughtered. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold spirit of Elohim, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And in verse 9 they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Elohim persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Redemption was made when Yeshua, the Lamb, took the book or the scroll from the right hand. In order to take the scroll, he had to go to the right hand. Nobody else was worthy to go there, but Yeshua went. And we read in Revelation 6:1, next I watched as the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living beings saying in a thundering voice, go. Yohanan had to go to the right hand to see it. So now Yohanan is at the right hand of Yeshua. In Mashiach, we are at the right hand. We read of Binyamini in Shoftim Judges chapter 3 and verse 14. And the people of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. And when the people of Israel cried out to Yehovah, Yehovah raised up for them a saviour, Ehud, the son of Gera, from the tribe of Binyamin, a left-handed man. The people of Israel appointed him to take their tribute to Eglon, the king of Moab. Ehud made himself a double-edged sword 18 inches long and strapped it to his right thigh under his clothes. Then he presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. When he had finished presenting the tribute, he dismissed the people who had brought it. But he himself, after reaching the quarries of Gilgal, went back and said, "King, I have a secret message for you." The king commanded silence, and all his attendants withdrew. Ehud came to him. He was sitting alone by himself in his upstairs room, where it was cool. And Ehud said, "I have a message from Elohim for you." And as the king arose from his seat, Ehud reached out with his left hand, took the sword from his right thigh, and thrust it into the king's belly. The hilt, too, went in after the blade, and the fat closed around the blade, for he did not draw the sword out of his belly, so that it came out behind. Sha'ul was actually like that Binyamini. He had a message. Eglon was a wicked, dominating man. He represents the old man that Sha'ul spoke about. Ehud the Binyamini made a dagger. Swords and knives represent the word of Elohim, or the sword. You got your sword in your hand? How many people have asked you that? It's your Bible in your hand. It's the word of Yehovah. And he took the dagger and he struck it into him. So believers all over the world are trying to serve Yehovah, but their flesh is too much involved. They do not know how to let go and let Yehovah have his way in their life. They use all sorts of effort and fleshly ways to serve Yehovah and make their lives miserable because they do not feel they are good enough in doing it the right way. Eglon, the flesh king, rules their lives. So Sha'ul's teachings tell us how to let Yehovah have his way so that it kills the flesh king out of our lives. It tells us that the flesh cannot serve Yehovah. The carnal mind is against Yehovah. Yah, through his word, teaches us that we died with Mashiach and have his spirit in us so that he can work in our lives. He tells us that we can try to do our best and make ourselves more holy. We can try to make ourselves more holy, but we are already set apart from Mashiach. So we must stop trying to get holiness into our lives. We've got to stop trying to do it in our own strength, to do it in our own flesh. Holiness is being set apart from this world unto Yehovah. We have to separate ourselves from the unholy. Separate ourselves from things of this world, which to me includes social networking of any kind. Malachi and I have refused to enter into any social networking, even when we've been invited by so many people, to even family, to go onto Facebook or LinkedIn or any of those sort of things. We won't do it. I believe social networking is a ploy of Hasatan. And I think that anyone that's on it should get off it. Because I think you're opening yourselves up to things in the future that we have no idea what it could be about. We don't know how the world is going to use that social networking. And we've got to get away from things of the flesh. It is Yeshua who saves us, not us. You do not save, so there's nothing you can do in the natural that can bring about your salvation. Yehovah gave a word to Sha'ul to deliver to us in order to kill this fleshly ritual, fleshly tradition, and fleshly religion. He said we must worship Elohim in spirit. It is only by worshipping him in spirit that we can really, really, truly worship him. Did you know that there are no real holy places in the world today? Yes, Lourdes of France is classed as a holy place, but it is no more holy than any back alley of any worldly city that you could come across. The so-called Holy Land is no more holy than Disneyland. I don't know how many of you have been to Israel, but prostitution is rife in Tel Aviv. Gay parades, Mardi Gras parades go through the streets of Jerusalem and the streets of Tel Aviv. The so-called holy places of Beit Lechem and the Machpelah caves and even the Temple Mount itself are places of murder and destruction and are certainly not places to be without security for protection. It may be the promised land, but it's certainly not the holy land. It is not holy or set apart unto Yehovah in the way it was meant to be. The place where Yehovah wants us to worship at this time is in our spirits and in our hearts. He wants us to do this in truth, which means that it must be in a state of sincerity and honesty, in truly worshipping and not just going through mere gestures or pretending that's there. This is why we never have anyone up the front for praise and worship. We don't want to conjure up a holiness or a false image of holiness that's not here. We want each and every one of you to have your time through that music, through that worship, to worship him in your way. It's not anything anyone has to conjure up. You and only you can set yourself apart for Yehovah. You can do it. You don't need man to be able to do it for you. Sha'ul kills fleshly religion with the word. In Shamuel Aleph, 1 Samuel, it says in chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, this is quite a fairly long reading. It says, the Philistine drew up in a battle formation against Israel. The battle was fierce, and Israel was beaten by the Philistine. They killed about 4,000 soldiers on the battlefield. When the army had returned to the camp, the leaders of Israel asked, why has Yehovah defeated us today before the Philistine? Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah from Shiloh to us, so that he will be among us and save us from our enemies. So the people went to Shiloh and brought from there the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah Zevaot, who was present above the Keruvim. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim. When the Ark for the Covenant of Yehovah entered the camp, all Israel gave a mighty shout that resounded through the land. On hearing the shout, the Philistine asked, what does this great shout in the Hebrew camp mean? Then they realized that the Ark of Yehovah had arrived in the camp, and the Philistine became afraid. They said, Elohim has entered the camp, we're lost. There was no such thing yesterday or the day before. We're lost. Who will rescue us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods that completely overthrew the Egyptians in the desert. Be strong and behave like men, you Philistine, so that you won't become slaves to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Behave like men and fight. The Philistine fought Israel, but was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. It was a terrible slaughter. 30,000 of Israeli foot soldiers fell. Moreover, the Ark of Elohim was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, died. One of the soldiers, a man from Benjamin, ran and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and earth on his head as a sign of mourning. As he arrived, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road watching, because he was trembling with anxiety over the Ark of Elohim. And when the men entered the city and told the news, the whole city began crying out. On hearing the cries, Eli asked, what does this uproar mean? So the men hurried, came to Eli and told him. Eli was 98 years old, and his gaze was fixed because he was blind. The man said to Eli, I'm the soldier that came. I escaped today from the battlefield. He asked, how did things go, my son? The one who had come with the news answered, Israel fled before the Philistine, and there was a terrible slaughter among the people. Your two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, are also dead, and the Ark of Elohim was captured. As soon as he mentioned what had happened to the Ark of Elohim, Eli fell backwards off his seat next to the gate, broke his neck, and died. He was an old man and heavy. He had judged Israel for 40 years. Did you notice that the ark was taken by the enemy? The ark represents the presence of Yehovah. Yeshua is represented by the ark today, which is Yehovah's presence. When the ark was taken, Hophni and Pinchas were slain. These two were wicked priests. Their names mean, Hophni means fist fighter, and Pinchas means mouth of the serpent. These men in this story speak of fleshly and carnal and bad religion again. Eli, once again, is a fat man, heavy of flesh, which also speaks of too much fleshiness or carnality. The son of Benjamin comes to Eli, who is called an old man, and he gives Eli a message. Once again, a Binyamini message. The ark is taken. When Yeshua was crucified on the stake, he was taken into the enemy's territory after he died. Shaul spoke about the old man that was crucified in Messianic Jews or Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, therefore, since children share a common physical nature as human beings, he became like them and shared that same human nature, so that by his death he might render ineffective the one who had power over death, that is, the adversary. Yeshua was taken into hell's territory. If that was not the territory of his enemies, I don't know what it would be. Little did they know what would happen. But immediately Hophni and Pinchas were killed, the old man represents the person we used to be, the unbeliever. If we are not renewed in our spirit, we are what Shaul calls the old man. That is part of Adam, the old man I spoke about in the previous message. In Romans 6 and verse 6, we know that our old self was put to death on the execution stake with Yeshua, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. When Yeshua died, our old man died. The sons of this old man represent the offspring of the fleshly man. The sins we committed that our flesh simply let happen, all of them have been killed. I thank Yah daily that my old life was crucified with Yeshua, and that all the offspring of my sinful nature and all the sins I committed were killed too. I sin every day. Not purposefully. No one does. But I'm sure that everyone has done something we should have done and didn't, or have done something we shouldn't have done, said something we should have and didn't, or some said something we shouldn't have and did, or shouldn't have said something when we should have. That's sinning. So I ask Yah to forgive me each day for anything that I haven't done the complete in him, and ask him to perfect it for me. It's something I can't do before I go to sleep each night. And then I say that now. It's amazing that we have to die to self every day. We have to look at Yah and repent every day, because our fleshly nature is still with us to some extent. The old man, yes, many of us probably have been changed something unbelievably to what we were once upon a time. But there's still that sin nature there. In Shmuel Aleph, or in 1 Samuel 4:16. The man said to Eli, "I'm the soldier that came. I escaped today from the battlefield." He asked, "How did things go, my son?" In other words, what is done? What happened? The work of Yeshua is all done. There is no more work to be done. Yeshua, when he died, cried out, "It is finished." What is finished? Everything that has to be done to kill the old man in us is finished. It's done. The fist fighter within all of us is dead. The serpent tongue that we all once had has died. We often think we need Yah to do something, but we don't. It's been done. It's been done. Not what is going to be done, my son. What has been done, my son? Eli fell back and broke his neck and died. Our old man within us was crucified with Yeshua and died. We need to study our Bibles. We need to check chapter and verse and not listen to man. We need to keep our brains with us. We need to learn what the scripture says about Yeshua's death, burial and resurrection. Let us not reject him just because it does not fit into our idea of what being Torah observant really is. We need to learn what the Bible says, that belief in Yeshua and observance of his Torah is what it is all about. We need to renew our minds to what the truth is. Let me assure you, there is no ritual that needs to be involved. No ritual. Nothing that man can tell you to do, you have to do. It's what the Ruach speaks to you about. It's how you are to observe Shabbat, how you are to observe the festivals according to the Ruach speaking to you, not what man tells you to do. No man can say you can't eat meat and milk together. That is ritual. So many things. Lighting candles on a Friday night is not scriptural. It's ritual. We have to make sure we follow the word according to the word and not follow ritual. It must come through revelation of the Ruach HaKodesh. This is how Shaul started his ministry, by Yeshua speaking to him. Shaul said in Galatians 1 and verse 12, "Because neither did I receive it from someone else, nor was I taught it. It came through a direct revelation from Yeshua the Messiah. Yehovah gave the message. It is not a fleshly man-made message." Many people do not agree that we need the Ruach HaKodesh, but Romans 8 and verse 9 tells me differently. "But you do not identify with your old nature, but with the Ruach, or the Spirit provided by the Spirit of Elohim that is living within inside you. For anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of the Messiah doesn't belong to him." Shaul divided the spoil in the night time of his life. He was used mightily by Yehovah to teach the power of the stake. He shared with us that we are already dead with the Mashiach. The old us is gone and buried. I should have been crucified? No. I was crucified with the Mashiach, was Shaul's message. So let us now use the silver cup of redemption as we go to the remembrance service that reminds us weekly of Yeshua's price on the stake for our sins, so that we too can sit alongside him at the right hand of Yehovah. "Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with the fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I'll put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yah Yehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah is our God, he is with us. Our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, ha'motzeh lachem me'en ha'aretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah is our God. How happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the kingdom answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name of Yehovah.
Cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yehovah Yeshua HaMashiach. Kakor Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Berei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Berei Minei Blessamein.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, Elohim,
So it's now time to thank Yah in our hearts for his Torah and give into his kingdom as we follow the example of Avram when he gave to Melchizedek from Bereshit 14:18-20. It says, Melchizedek, king of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. It was the Kohen of El Elyon, Yehovah Zevaot, the Most High Yah. So he blessed him with these words. Blessed be Avram by Elyon, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be Elyon, who handed over your enemies to you. And Avraham gave him a tenth of everything. So please bring your offering into the boxes by the side there, and you can give to this ministry. And as you know, of everything that is brought in here, one-tenth of that of the offering goes to Makor HaTikvah. And we'll be making another donation very soon with that. And come, take the bread, smell the spices, and take some a cup, and we'll all eat and drink together. Forgot to tell you, you can add some to the bread.
I'm a twice-born child of Abraham. In the covenant God made with him, I thank God for the faithfulness of Abraham. He taught me how to live, believing in my God. See him standing there, a desert man. At the skies, hear the Lord saying, so shall your descendants be as countless as the stars, like sand upon the shore.
God. Hey. my God and King, your love makes all of heaven sing. My God and King, your mercy is forevermore. My God and King, Hashem be magnified. Your love gives life, my God and King, to all who sanctify your name. Love gives life to all who bow before your throne. Your love gives life, Hashem be magnified. I rest before your throne of grace, in that redeemed so special place, a land of utter holiness, the new Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. I see the mountaintop ablaze. I see your loving holy gates. I hear the shofar sing its song. Holy Jerusalem, holy Jerusalem. My God and King, my God and King, your love makes all of heaven sing. My God and King, your mercy is forevermore. My God and King, be magnified.
Abba, we thank you and praise you that we are your sons that sit beside your son at your right hand. We thank you for Yeshua, for laying down his life, for drinking that cup. And even though he prayed that you would take it from him, he still obeyed you and laid down his life. Help each and every one of us to be like him, to obey you and to lay down our lives, to let go of everything that's of the flesh, and to just look to you, to trust in you and not in man. And don't look to man's words, but let the Ruach speak to each and every one of us as to what you want from us and for us, and how you want each of us to spend our days. Abba, we just take these emblems now in remembrance of what Yeshua did on that stake, with having his body just torn to shreds and his blood spilt. We take these emblems in remembrance of that, and help each and every one of us to become more like him. We ask in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Let us eat and drink together. Minister Malachi is now going to come and say the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I'll repeat it in English.
Yevarekha Yehovah Yishmerekha Ye'er Yehovah Panavalekha V'yachunekha Yisa Yehovah Panavalekha V'yasumaka shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest of the Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. That is a very good message, Tamar.
Yeah. He supplies. He does. He's amazing. Into the scripture. I just get to the scripture and just see what he gives me.
Yes, you do a wonderful job. Actually, I was thinking with regard to that, the confessing and sins and that sort of thing, and because I think it was James that wrote that it's good to confess your sins to one another, which I think actually helps clear the air, particularly if it's the one that's been offended, and to pray for one another, and which we do, and I think that's a good practice. It's and then it occurred to me that confession in the context of some of the church structure was that they funneled all of the confessions through the authority structure of the church, which put them in a position where they had the inside dope on everybody and they knew what was going on. So it was a very effective mechanism of control. And then it occurred to me that the confessional has gone from being inside the church, which gives the knowledge to the authority, to things like your social media, which from what I've gathered with Facebook, that was one of the things that the CIA was very supportive of, it because it enabled them to find all of the known associates of anybody who happened to be a person of interest. So it became a way of, well, the enemy, so to speak, or the centralised, those that are desiring power to utilise that. So I think that's sort of part of why we don't want to be involved in doing it in spite of lots of invites. And a couple other things that I just wanted to... I was thinking when we were talking about the requirement for circumcision, and that was being done, and it occurred to me with regard to the Roman Empire, apart from that they were using a different calendar so they couldn't have Passover as any sort of thing that was very convenient. But by switching to Easter, it eliminated the requirement for men to be circumcised to partake in this celebration. And they had a basically pagan empire. So if they could sort of get as much of the ritual observed around the Passover season, but substitute it one which didn't require anybody to get circumcised, then that was a much easier politically thing to move with rather than simply adopting what it had in, has in the Torah as their structure. So it makes sense why that was done. And the only other thing, nothing further as far as the message side of it's concerned, but I've been, I noticed Tamar, when we're singing in Hebrew, she's watching the Hebrew text and she's reading it. And I was having a go at doing that and I was getting it a little bit. And and then I was showing Luke where we were keeping up to, and as soon as I tried to put my finger on the words as we were going, I've lost it then. I could deal with my eyes and hear it and that sort of thing, but it's good. But I've been studying the Hebrew using this Rosetta Stone program, and when one gets a license, one gets a license to use it, and I've got one now for 3 years, but you can have up to five individuals that are operating on the one license. So it's like it looks after a family and anybody else that's associated with it. But it part of that program, they've got a subscription service. I've got a subscription now that goes for 3 years, and that allows live communication with people in that are using the program, tutorial support, and it can be run on any of these sort of the iPhones, tablets, that sort of thing. So you can actually log in. And once you log in, it knows where you're up to and it just resumes the course. And it's a very good system. And if we can work a way of doing it for anyone in the congregation that's interested in learning Hebrew, actually just out of curiosity, is there anybody here that's looking for a way to learn Hebrew that would be interested in doing something like that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. Might look at it towards Torah class next that's year, and doing.
Yeah. That's there's a possibility that we could utilise that time to use it on your own iPad. I think from what I could gather, you could load it on a computer. You can run the program, but to actually get the recognition of having gone through the course as a recognised course, the testing side of it needs to be done on the licensed computer. But if the people get their own subscription, then, and I think the shortest short-term thing is something like $40 for a month, or is what I did, it was just under 200 US, and that was like 3 years, so that's certainly better than $40 a month. So for a couple of hundred dollars, or maybe two, something like that, anyway, a couple of hundred dollars, and you can be learning Hebrew, and it's conversational. It's not biblical Hebrew. It's conversational Hebrew, and there's a few differences. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that one with you, bless you all. Now, we've got a meeting.
A board meeting afterwards, but anyone who wants prayer down the front, and the board meeting will be on at 2 o'clock for those board members that are staying for that.
Okay, and bless you all. Shavuot Tov, and to our friends online, bless you all.
Shavuot Tov, love you all.
Tamar loves blowing kisses. Bless you. You said something?
Yeah, blessing.
Oh, to us.
Oh. We've done that.
We did the blessing.
We did that.
I did the ironic blessing.
You can
want another one.
He wants another blessing. Some people aren't happy with one.
It's only 6 days until Shabbat. It's only